People and Places, with your hosts, Brad Banjor, Pete Shapiro, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast. Presented by Mothers, Polishes, Waxes, Cleaning, Replay XD Cameras, Kicker Audio.
Welcome to another episode of Shift and Steer. This week we're in the studio. I got Pete Shapiro and Aaron Hagar with me. How you guys doing?
Good. You had to look at your notes before you say my name. What? I got.
Well, you're not here enough. I mean, I was like, he's really here? No way.
I know. In the flesh, ladies and gentlemen.
And we've got the gravelly voiced Pete Shapiro.
Yes, my Billy Gibbons voice.
Yeah. Now, Matt's not here because he's still up in Hollywood cleaning up the mess we made.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, we've got Matt is up in Hollywood cleaning up the mess from the big film premiere we were at. And Pete, of course, the man who's always out of control. I mean, that's why he didn't have a voice. He had a fine voice last night, but by the end of the night, all the hooting and hollering and partying that you did.
Yeah.
You're a wild man. I couldn't believe it, man. I'm going, you know. Pete, you know, he's almost 60 years old, and he is like
60.
He's going crazy.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
I lost 12 years of my life last night.
You look like
60. See? That's awesome. It was such a party that you lost. And I liked it because Adam Carolla said, you know, hey, what'd Pete think of the film? And I said, he's speechless. He's speechless.
Yeah, that's what happened.
So
that is exactly
what. Oh, you're so punny.
Hey guys, so we want to talk about winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, the big Hollywood premiere that we were invited to last night, and they had us come. I don't know why they had us come, but you know, it was fun. But before that, we're going to open up the show with something we've never done, and that's. Well, I guess being professional.
Take off our clothes.
There's a few things we haven't ever done, like be professional and, you know, like that. But no, it's email questions. I threw it out there, texted out, and put it on Twitter and our, you know, a couple of our pages. I said, hey, if you have any questions, email them. And just remember, go to our Facebook page, and we'll post this on there. But if you ever have any questions for any of the cast members here on the podcast or just in general, just email them to shiftandsteer@gmail.com. And you know what? We'll take the best ones, and we'll try and answer them on the air. You can also use that address if you're a potential advertiser and you want to just you know, tell us how much you want to spend with us. Just email us at shiftandsteer@gmail.com.
/$.
Yeah. Just we'll get right back to you.
Hashtag.
But
it's a pound sign, man.
So our first question ever in the history of Shift and Steer,
really?
Is from Tim Lincoln from St. Louis, Missouri. And I think this one's going to be appropriate for Aaron to answer because it's, what is the opening music from on your show? And he wants to know. I think he digs it. So what's going on?
That's so cool, Mr. Lincoln. Tim, that's pretty badass because, you know, St. Louis is a big family town for us. And it's nice that someone maybe recognized and wanted to know because it sure as hell ain't Dad. It's my band Fight Club.
That's cool. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Really? That was the first one?
Yeah, that was the first question. Wow. Well, not the first question that came in.
Yeah.
The first question that came in is, why the hell do you have Aaron Hagar on your show? But I nixed that one.
I like the way he spells his name.
It's Hajar. It's Aaron Hajar.
Hajar. So, no.
He's a Persian.
But, you know, we've had a lot of questions, Aaron, about the music, yeah. You know. It's got, you know, because it's not like what I guess I would expect to be the rock and roll that would come out. It's just this fantastic. It's got a great vibe and it goes up and down. It's and folks, if you listen to the end of the show, we always do an outro and I always try and, you know, kind of when we're in the edit bay, make sure that we use a little bit different area, just depending on where the show's ending. And, you know, if it's ending kind of calm and we're just going over some stuff, we'll hit that. that part of the riff where it's really on the upswing. And if we're all yelling and crazy, then we'll kind of bring it down. But that's all Aaron Hagar's band, Fight Club. Who else is in the band with you?
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's Rye Kinn. Actually, Rye Kinn and I wrote that song, Greg's son. It's me and my brother Andrew and Rye Kinn and Trevor William Church and Tony Montanus.
I never asked you this. Does that have a name?
What?
That's that particular song that we use, music.
Struck by Loveless, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Very thematic.
Where can they find you on iTunes to buy that album?
Real soon.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're actually finishing up the last of the details on the artwork because we decided to go with a trifold instead of a jewel case. So we had to rearrange the artwork a little bit. So I'm waiting for my man to finish that up, and then we can go to print, and we're out there.
Yeah. See, multi-talented here on Shift and Steer. and what is cool, though, we really do appreciate that Aaron Hagar and – or Aaron Hajar and Fight Club. No, Fight Club.
Fight Club.
You know, let us use that because it really does give a really good intro and get you ready for the show. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question, now this one's a little more personal. That's why I picked it. I thought it was kind of funny. Jenny from Philadelphia. Now, she didn't give me a last name, but she goes, "Hey, is Pete married? And will he let me drive his hot rod?" Now, that could be taken a couple different ways.
Is that literal? Or
you know, I don't know if your wife listens to the show, Pete, but...
of 49 years, right?
Yeah, Carol, of 49 years. Yeah, I've been married a bit of a time there.
And now he's going for the sexy voice.
Yeah, I can't help.
Now, come on, Pete. You weren't talking like that before we said Jenny wanted to know if you were married.
I'll tell you what. If Jenny makes it out to SoCal Speed Shop in Pomona, she can drive the hot rod.
Okay, there you go, Jenny. Jenny from Philadelphia. Pete is married happily, but he will let you drive his hot rod. So, speaking of which, since we're talking about that, making it out to SoCal, one of the events that we're going to be attending and broadcasting from is... Unshameless plug, the SoCal Open House. When?
The 19th of June.
Yeah, nice. See how we fit those in? It's just so flawless.
It just makes sense. It all falls into place.
Is Aaron coming to that one?
I will do my best. I have to check my schedule, but you betcha. Yeah.
Boy, we better have everybody there, the entire Shift.
I've never been there. I've been dying to go.
Yeah, it's awesome. Cool.
I'm telling you, I'm going to go through your broken parts bin because Brad wants me to build him a rat rod. So.
You need to bring your wagon down.
Oh, yeah, I'll drive it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Just don't let him go through there unattended. You know, you might be missing some stuff by the end of the day.
We have an attendant guy. We do have.
Okay, good. Yeah. Security?
Oh.
We can have thrown out.
John Reed, are you kidding me?
Thrown out like, we'll throw you out of there like Justin Bieber at Coachella.
Oh. Yeah, ooh. But you'll have to fly. You can jump back in the jet, right?
But I'll leave my monkey behind.
I knew you were a Persian.
I get that a lot, yeah.
Okay, so here's our last question of the show, and not our last of the show ever, just of this episode. And it's from Bob Jeffries of Seattle. He wants to buy his first muscle car, and knowing that Brad, I guess that's me, is a muscle car expert, what would he recommend? Well, I would say, Bob, that's, you know, always a personal thing, but there's so many questions. But if we take it real general, and I'm gonna throw it out to Pete to confirm this with, because he knows also, but what you should really go for if it's your first muscle car and you're not, like, really been collecting cars or been into the hobby for a long time, probably stick with something that is like a Chevy Chevelle, a Camaro, something like that that's going to be easy to find parts for. There's a lot of them. You're going to be able to find lots of friends who know about them, and you're just going to have a ball with it. I mean, if he goes not with something crazy right out of the box, but make sure... spend the money for a good car.
Yeah, buy a good car.
Don't buy a piece of crap that you're going to have problems with because you saved $1,000. Go for the one that, and then you got to decide, are you wanting a numbers matching, you know, F78 bias ply tired car, which you'll really hate afterwards, or something that's got upgraded brakes and maybe a crate motor, but just has the look, because that's kind of the dividing line, wouldn't you say, Pete?
Absolutely. Do not go with anything but a good car.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, because
save up a little more money.
Yeah, yeah. Because the thousand that you're not spending, you'll have to make up with 10 times that with all the stuff that you find later on. Yeah.
And I know Pete and I have had this conversation before. Is that something that Boyd, when we were partners, just drove into my head and into the heads of our customers. How many times, Pete, have you had a customer drag in a car that had rust all over and they're, yeah, but it was my first car, and you're going, and you just look at it and you go, no, you're going to spend so much more money fixing that rust bucket or fixing that piece of crap than going out and finding a really nice car. I mean, Boyd was notorious for it. He'd just say, find the best car you can to start with. I mean,
yeah, we do it all the time. I mean, we just turned one away last week. I swear, you know, let's go find the right 65 Chevelle, period. Yeah. That's it.
And you know what I've told people, too? I know this sounds silly, but take the steering wheel. Take the seat, take the steering wheel. Those are the two things that you're in, and maybe the shifter. Those are the things you're in contact the most from your first car, if it is indeed still your first car. And just put it away. Put it in the backyard, make it a jacuzzi. Well, keep the steering wheel, keep the shifter, keep the seat, keep the pedals, whatever you want, because that physically is the heart and soul of what your car was.
But are you talking about the back seat? In my first car, it would
be that's
the back
way
seat.
Too worn out. That's yeah. The springs are gone, the floor's gone. The window's kicked out, luckily.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I brought a car over to Pete's shop. You know, I told him, hey, I want the trunk floor cut out. And he opened the trunk and he goes, there's nothing wrong with this. There's no rust or anything. I said, there's DNA. We need it gone. So
Burn it.
Melt it down. So, no, The thing is, I'll tell a quick story about the Boyd days, which was we were at a little museum back in Pennsylvania. And Pete, do you remember the Smithsonian cover car?
Yes, I do.
For Butch Martino?
Yes.
That car was a 20,000-mile original Jenny with twin spare tires in the fenders. It was like the most optioned 33 that I'd ever seen, and it was in this little bitty museum, like about a 20-car museum, and it had a for sale sign on it. And we were killing time. We were back there for something. I think we were had meetings back there in Philadelphia or something. We found this little museum. We pull in, and Boyd says, how much for the car? Guy gives him a price. I'll take it. And the guy goes, oh, really? And he goes, oh, yeah. And he goes, oh, you're a car guy? You appreciate these? And oh, yeah. So we leave. Pete comes back with Big Red, you know, Purple Pete, with our Big Red semi, and the phone rings. And Boyd goes, you're not going to believe this. I go, what? He goes, the guy says he wants to tear up my check. And when he saw Hot Rods by Boyd on the side of the semi, he goes, you're not building a hot rod out of that.
And oh, no.
Boyd goes, you already sold it to me. Oh. And the guy was just in tears because he found out this car was going to be made. Yeah. But it was awesome because that car was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, the guys in the V8 Club saved those cars for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a hard call, and I get that a lot, too. A buddy of mine inherited his dad's original Model A, and he's like, you know, do I hot rod it? Do I hit, you know, when he left it to me, he said, make it yours. This is the way I preserved it. Make it yours. And I went, got it. And it's mint. I mean, it's absolutely mint. And it was the same argument. It's like, well, you can compromise. You can upgrade it a little bit, you know, according to the rules and make it drivable on the road, you know, at highway speeds, be comfortable. Or you can go full blown. You know, money's not an option. So for now, I think he spent the last couple of years getting it ready for the road and driving it on the road as it looks, right. But not as it drove. So it drives better, you know, but I think he's on his way. Yeah, he's on his way to cutting it.
Well, the guys will say, well, I'll put it back to stock. That'll never happen.
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
And you know, it's we were talking about muscle cars just a little while ago. I started this conversation, and if you take a 67 Camaro, and it's got 14-inch bias plies on it, drum brakes all the way around, and a V8 327, that car's not a pleasure to drive.
No.
It really isn't. No. It's like the of the old hot rod. You know, I mean, the old Model A's and stuff. Yeah, just, you know, let's face it. You know, I see the guy go past my house every Saturday and his, you know, and he's driving by, and I just think, man, one of these days that guy's going to die, and I'm going to buy that car and build it into a hot rod, you know?
Well, I actually got to experience this recently with the Norton. You know, I inherited my Uncle Bucky's old Norton from my dad. Dad said, make it yours. And I'm thinking, all right, man, I'm going to do this and do that. I start looking at all this billet stuff for once. You know, I never look at billet. I'm looking at billet stuff on this bike. And when it was all said and done, I put different pipes on it. I put some cafe style bars on it, and I'm doing the seat in leather. That's it. And more modern tires, because I do actually ride it, so I don't care for the retro look. I actually want function, so put some nice sticky Avons in there. But other than that, I decided I'm not going to cafe it. I'm not going to do a Thruxton or a Manx style, you know, aluminum tank and all this stuff like I was going to. Like all these years, 20 years of waiting for this bike, and I was dreaming of this. I'm going to leave it exactly the way it was. I put the rest of the factory decals and stuff, made it look a little more stock, but just super clean. Because I realized, you know, the Triumphs, You tear apart. I mean, they made so many of them. The Nortons, they're harder to find, and they're kind of like, you know, that it's was a, what's what, left.
Was 750 Commando or
850?
Oh, it's a 75. Wow,
yeah, it's a first. I believe it's a first year of dual disc brakes, first year of electric start, first year of left hand shift. So, you know, it's worth preserving and leaving the way it is.
What year is that bike?
75.
A 75. Yeah. Okay.
But you just don't see the Nortons that much,
no.
And a lot of them have been butchered up, so you don't see them original. So I'm leaving it as it is.
Well, you start talking about all that. I really want to build a bike, and you're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to talk to you about it because I want.
Yeah.
But I want to do something. What I've always wanted since high school is a KZ1000 or something, and I've always, all my buddies had those. When I had my fast car, they had their fast bikes with the, you know, back in Omaha, they'd take the shocks off, put hard struts, and and then they'd put wheelie bars and a slick and an open Kirker power pipe.
That's about right.
And I mean, there was a gang of these guys in Omaha. There was probably literally like 35 of them. And this wasn't their official name. Just all the car guys called them the Killer Bees because you'd hear them coming from 2 miles away, and it just sounded like this giant swarm of bees, you know, and it was so cool. And I just loved those bikes. We'd go out to the street races. I know I'm going to lose my NHRA license. Where we'd go out to the street races, and it was just those bikes just, they would just plant themselves on those wheelie bars and just go. And I just was always, oh, I gotta have one of those. Yeah. And but you know, those have gotten so expensive. But I've been looking at these CB750s.
Yeah. Well, the CBs are getting up there too. And any of the Hondas, they're even building up the one series.
Well, find me a dirt cheap one for like $75 that I can start with.
A CB. That's why I have a Kawasaki and a Suzuki. I built up a Suzuki 550 because it looks. Boy, the guys are going to hate me, but it looks so much like the Hondas. It's the same vibe, right? But it's affordable. I bought the bike for $200 running.
Yeah.
One owner.
But I just want to do that.
13,000 original miles.
And
you know?
I would like to build like a cool cafe bike, you know, and then
totally.
Someday I'm gonna build one of those drag bikes, those KZ drag bikes, and I don't care if I just hang it on a wall, you know, like I'll be 83 like Paul Newman and I'll just you know, get on it and just drive it into a wall or something, you know. But
well, you know, those I see like the Hemi Cudas, they're great straight liners.
You
can corner them, but I don't know. Mine have shrunken quite a bit.
You know, I've just always been one of those guys who've always wanted like a really fast bike and never got one. I was going somewhere the other day and some girl pulled up next to me, and you can, I don't know why it is, but you can always tell a girl on a bike because, you know, the hair's coming out. And usually because most of the guys on the bikes have big bellies sticking out. And, you know, this girl was real trim and you could also tell because she had a pink helmet on, okay? But she was on this really
little thong out of the back of those.
what's the super badass Suzuki cafe bike right now?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm still a European guy. I like the Italians. I'm not really up on the modern Japanese bikes. But,
well, I don't know what it was, but it had to be one of the
600 series. I'm guessing.
You know, because they had those really great fairing. Yeah. It was really sexy
some
looking.
Beautiful bikes. The new R1 Yamaha is killer. They actually left the fairing intact like the race bikes and put the lights to the side.
Well, see, that's what this Suzuki looked like. Oh, it was just it looked like a cafe race bike,
GSXR of some sort.
But I mean, you know. she's getting on the freeway on the on ramp and just you know.
Well,
and
notice too, it's I still am of the design of the high pipes, you know, under the seat and getting up high like that.
Yeah.
Now all the pipes are low, Ducati, which makes perfect sense.
Ducati out the back.
Exactly. You know what? Well, the Beamers did that for a while. You know, everybody was doing it. It was a kind of a styling cue. But now they're all little half leg down at the bottom underneath the bike, like the old Buell did too. And it makes much more sense, and you don't get the buzz and up the back of your neck. But yeah, these new bikes, I mean, they're running, you know, almost 200 horsepower in a stock motorcycle, 185.
Some of the new bikes are just crazy.
It's insane.
Fast.
But I got to tell you, you know, I've been riding fast bikes like that and mostly on the track, but I'm kind of over it. I got into the adventure bike.
Yeah, I saw you doing that.
Yeah, and I'm loving it because I want to get off the road. I want to get in the wilderness and in the desert and in the jungle and find, you know, we've all been driving down these roads and looking at the roads that go elsewhere. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know about you guys, but back and forth to Vegas all the time, back and forth to LA all the time, the same monotony of the same roads. And I'm always looking at these paths. And now I'm looking at these paths like seriously going, well, I could just say yes. You know, I could just say yes. There's no gate. I could just make a right turn. I got plenty of gas and see where that road goes.
We have dual purpose bikes.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the modern enduro is what these adventure bikes are.
Screw
and
that. That's why I bought a helicopter.
Ass. Hey, man, helicopters hit wires, okay?
not in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah, they do. Got to get power out there somehow.
Got to get up a tree.
So,
I'm loving it.
So, no, I mean, you know, it's just, it's part of the whole shift and steer thing because, I mean, it's not just about hot rods. It's not just about exotics or muscle cars. It's all the cool stuff. And,
I've got a lawnmower that you wouldn't believe.
Hey, I think we should build a shift and steer entry into the national lawnmower race.
A Ducati lawnmower, just like the Lamborghini tractors, right?
Yeah, you know what we really should do, you guys? And this is just throwing it out here on the air, but you guys have heard of the Le Mans?
Yes.
We should build a Le Mans car.
Absolutely.
And go out there, and that'd be cool. Have you seen that, Pete?
I have not.
What they do is
it's a budget, right?
You've got to stick within a budget, and it's a claimer race. So basically, if you come out with something really nice, somebody can claim it, you know? But it's all, like, funny, tongue-in-cheek. Like, I saw a Porsche out there once, and the guy had taken a 944, and he had built this giant, giant whale tail out of wood. and it looked like a back porch. And he had redone the stripe along the bottom of the car, and it said Porcha racing. And I mean, it was just, and people just go out and have a blast with it, man. They do it once a year and it's so cool. We could find like some Chevette or a Gremlin
or
Pacer or something like that.
Well, this is the perfect car too to rebody because someone had a very cool, it was a Miata, actually a drivetrain. And then the body was made out of one of those little Datsun 2000s. Which you don't see it, and they're worth a lot of money when they're restored, you know, and they put this funky old Datsun on top of this Miata, and it was actually a cool car. I mean, this thing was badass, right? And it was on Craigslist, of course, cheap. It was like, you know, car $300, roll cage $1,500, you know, because it was true. You know, they got the car for scrap, but the roll cage was expensive. So, but you know, imagine something like that. It's the perfect idea to rebody something. This is where you get just a parts car that's running, and you just put some cool, funky rat rod body on it, right? And you go race it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, paint it yellow and we could have a team and shift and steer,
absolutely,
promote the show and everything all at once.
Yeah. Where do they do this?
We're going to have to look it up. I think they move it around, but we'll have to find out because it's something we'll get. We'll have to go out and do it.
Sounds like fun.
So, hey, well, we're getting way off track. But speaking of racing,
really?
Speaking of being passionate, we all attended the big Hollywood premiere last night of Adam Carolla's film. Now, if you remember, on a previous show a couple weeks ago, we had Nate Adams, who was the co-producer, co-director of the film. You know, this was one of Adam's passion projects. I mean, he had been talking about this for years. You know, when I'd go up there and be on the show, he was talking about it, looking for somebody to do it. And he just couldn't get anybody off the mark. So he finally said, I'm doing it myself. And he financed it. What a film. It's called Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman. We attended the premiere. It was at the El Capitan Theater, where you know, that's where Jimmy Kimmel has his show. It's Heritage, and that theater just in itself. It's just incredible.
So cool.
The curtains. Oh my God.
The show before the show, yeah, just the curtains going up was the show.
So retro. Stunning. It was like old Hollywood, wasn't it? It's like that's the way we remember. Well, we remember. Like I'm.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
In my past life is.
I remember.
I mean, the cigarette girl going down the aisle. Yeah, I didn't know they had those anymore.
The girls are cigarettes.
But you know, I was blown away because
the vape girl.
The vape girl, yes.
The vape girl.
But I mean, as I'm walking in, I mean, first of all, they pulled it off. I mean, they had cars on the street. Yeah. It was you know, I mean, they had them on the sidewalk. So yeah, they actually blocked off Hollywood Boulevard sidewalk while there's a premiere going around.
Two other premieres. The Avengers and
the Russell Crowe film.
Yeah, some other one, yeah.
Yeah. And Russell snuck away to come over to see the guys from Shift and Steer. He heard that we were over here.
He's a lot shorter than I thought.
Yeah.
That's what my wife said.
Actually, so small. Kind of bulked up a bit. Yeah.
You talk about that, but did you see Patrick Dempsey at the after party?
Yeah, I did.
And I thought he was a lot taller, and I was like, hey, I'm taller than him. I'm taller than somebody.
Well, so, he's a full-blown racer now, too. He's racer weight. He's teeny-tiny.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's like in the film last night, the one thing that I was like, wow, when they said that Paul Newman was 5'9 and 155 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's teeny.
Yeah, I'm 5'9 and not 155 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I was 155 pounds when I was 10.
Yeah, when I met my wife, I was 155 pounds, and she kept saying, you're too skinny. Yeah.
But what did you guys think of the film?
Oh, I thought it was great. I mean, they really captured it. I think they hit a home run.
Yeah.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it's amazing when you think you know someone's career when you're kind of growing up observing. And to see this side of him, you know, you never realized how immersed he was in racing. I mean, he lived for it. It was all he did, all he focused on, all he thought about, all he talked about. You know, he lived and breathed it. It was legit. You know? Yeah.
Well, what was amazing to me was, you know, some of the little touchstones, like we said, you always see him on screen, and I always thought he was a bigger guy than that. But also the fact that, okay, five championships, and they would say how he would go around and just, you know, talk about his championships. And one of the funniest kind of poignant parts of the film that I thought was when they were interviewing, and I'm trying to think who it was they were interviewing now. Gosh, help me here, guys. It was the individual who stated that he said, well, at one point, I was like, wow, Paul's getting really boring because all he talks about is
Robert
cars.
Redford.
Oh, it was Redford. Robert, yeah, I couldn't remember. Yeah. So is he well known?
Somewhat, I think.
Okay, he did a film with him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, Robert Redford said, he goes, we were really good friends, but the more he got into it, I was kind of like, you know, Paul, you're getting really boring. All you talk about is cars, you know. Yeah. But and that's when you know he got like a real car guy.
It's like our rock and roll friends.
Yeah, exactly. We've talked about it here on the show that our rock and roll buddies, they want to talk about cars, you know. Yeah. But and they said it, how many times in the film did they say that if somebody came up to interview him at one of the races and they said, so what do you do in your next film? He'd go, oh, the mechanic needs me, walk away. Yeah. If they wanted to ask him if he was improving his time or what was going on with the car, he said he'd talk for an hour.
Yeah, it was a passion, you know. And
you could see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so focused.
Yeah. And I love the description they used, too, stoic.
Yeah.
Great word for him. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
good.
So,
hands
too.
Down. Yeah.
There was, I think what the thing was, I was talking to Adam afterwards at the after party, and I told him, I expressed to him, thanks for inviting us and how great the film was. And he goes, well, what'd you like about it? And it was, I said, I don't even have to think about that. What I liked about it was the roadmap that you guys put together that really, it wasn't just the story. It wasn't superfluous with just, you know, oh, yeah, he was this great, you know, film star and actor, and he went out road racing, and he won this championship. It really clued you into how passionate he was.
Yeah.
It really showed you. I think it was the combination of the stills that they they dug up, the personal home movies,
yeah.
And then having people like his brother, you know, because there's always something from another actor, from I don't know what you guys thought, but Lynn St. James, when she was talking, you could tell there's a little animosity in her voice, you know, like, oh yeah, well, you know, he wasn't, you know, but his brother, that was his brother,
yeah.
You know, that was, and like when you saw the stuff where he was sweeping the track, he was in his blue jeans and his T-shirt, you know.
Well,
and
I think that says it all. You haven't seen this side of Paul Newman. And whether you think you have or not, you haven't. Trust us.
Yeah.
You have not seen this side of Paul Newman. And it's an amazing journey. I mean, the pace of the film was fantastic. But I got to tell you, you know, when you're looking at anything athletic or anything like that that's technical, you can always appreciate the technical aspect of an individual. This film had so much heart. It really showed the heart and the passion as well as the technical, the extreme technical skill of Paul Newman, and I think that the film really, really captured that well. It was very soulful. You know, there wasn't a dry eye at the very end. You know, there was some really great...
Don't tell the end. Come on.
Well, we had to leave. It was over.
Hey,
they wanted more.
And they had free popcorn. I dug that.
Yeah, that was cool.
No, it's just under an hour and a half of great film. I mean, it's
great,
it's,
great interviews, yeah. Great people, but it really does show you that he was more than just a guy who had the wealth and had the, you know, the name to go out and race. And he actually got into it. He'd be sitting there analyzing, and this is way before, you know, all the computer analytics and like that. He was talking to the team guys, trying to find out, how does this car tick? And what was another telling part was when they mentioned how he didn't just go jumping in a Ferrari. He said, no, I'm going to get me a nice car, but something in the middle, and he got that Datsun.
Well, they even said he got below. He got even a little bit lesser of a car, something
right.
That didn't perform, that didn't have the power.
Because he said, I want to learn.
Yep.
He goes, and they said he would just drive in the pack and watch other racers' lines and learn. And then they said they knew the minute that he felt he was confident, because then he started just going for it, you know? And
yeah, practice makes perfect.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is you get to see the evolution of him as a driver. But, you know, even if you're not a car person, see the film, because you're a Paul Newman fan, and you know his products, you know his life's work. But this, as the people that he worked with and drove with even said, you don't know the real Paul Newman until you've raced with him, until you've sat with him in the trailer and ate a sandwich. And, you know, it's like they felt that they knew him better than any of his Hollywood friends.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, that was a big part.
Yeah, it was great. I think it was excellent.
So May 22nd, or right, is when it comes out?
I don't know. Throw it out there.
I believe it's May 22nd. It debuts in theaters and pay-per-view.
Limited theater release, and then on demand. And you can go to Winning the Paul Newman, or the Racing Life of Paul Newman. That is actually a Facebook page, and they'll be updating it with where you can find it. And that's probably the best thing. If you like that, you'll get all the updates. But what a fantastic film. We were so happy be there, walk the red carpet, see all the people.
I mean, the gala itself, the people that came to support that film were heavy hitters, man. I mean, seriously, we had Russell Crowe next door, we had the Avengers, and we had some A-list, you know, sports people and
well, you had guys like Patrick Dempsey, you had Michael Andretti there, you had Tanner Faust, you had Pete Chaporas, Bob Bondurant.
Matt D'Andrea.
And I mean, there were a lot of racers there, and you know, if they were wearing their helmets, I could have named them all, but they didn't have their helmets on, so.
Very true,
But there really was a litany of those people, and then the after
Jimmy
party.
Jimmy Kimmel was in.
Jimmy Kimmel, and then the after party was pretty rocking too at the historic Roosevelt.
Yeah. Now, they had, now Matt was posting pictures, they had to crane in the cars.
Yeah.
Like five cars were in.
And that wasn't planned until the day before.
Oh my! And that crane—did you guys see the crane out back?
Yeah.
Oh my God! That's like a building crane that they like put like levels of buildings up in downtown.
Well, they had
LA.
To lift it. Matt was telling me they had to park the crane in valet, lift it over the entire entrance of the hotel into a garden, and then drag the cars through.
Right. I mean, how insane was that?
And that was after they removed part of the roof. There was a glass panel they had to remove.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean.
Let's spend some more money.
It's crazy.
Yeah, thank you guys for spending the money. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Adam.
So, Well, it was one of those things. They were originally supposed to have the party down, and something went wrong. And, you know, who knows? It's just, you know, you got to punt and make it happen.
Got it done.
And they got it done. You didn't even know what happened. But
thank you.
Great music, a lot of great people.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but met a lot of great people there last night. And it was fun. And, you know, guys like other industry guys like John Hotchkiss was there. And, you know, it was a really cool deal. And we want to make sure that you guys know it is for the racing enthusiast and for just the regular people that just love Paul Newman, because you do get to see another side of him. Not only that, you get to hear all the great comments from people like, you know, like you were saying, Robert Redford, and, you know, all the great people like Jay Leno. And, you know, it was just pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of love and respect for him outside of Hollywood.
And you know, hey, Adam Carolla, way to go, man, just to take it and make it happen. You know, I love seeing guys that can just kind of, you know, like go, hey, the hell with it. You know, fuck you guys. You don't want to do it. Well, I'm going to do it and really make it happen.
He really stepped to the plate.
Yeah.
That's
quite
amazing.
Quite the champion.
So, guys, you know, that was what happened last night. Our week isn't over. I know Pete's got to nurse a laryngitis thing that he's got going on. But Matt, Aaron, and I are going to go out to the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. And we're going to scoot out there tomorrow morning and attend the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race.
Sweep the track.
Exactly. Got to start somewhere, right? So,
talk about sweeping. That's what you're going to be doing, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
But did you guys been keeping up with this? You know, what has happened in Long Beach with the IndyCar race and everything like that?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's become the Toyota Long Beach Grand Prix month. Yeah, I mean, it just keeps going.
Yeah, it's still going.
And, I mean, you know, last week it was the drifting races. Mm-hmm. And before that it was Formula V. I guess what they figured out is that it costs so much to block it off, put up all the infrastructure that, hey, we're really going to, you know.
There's something out a week.
Yeah, plus, it's a great – I've never driven, obviously, but I hear it's a great track. I mean, it's like the old tracks. It's street, you know, it's on the street, and it's fun, and it's like different, it's challenging, it's wickedly technical, you know, and it's a good venue, so to speak.
I'll throw it out there. I've gone around that track, and
have you?
And I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, right.
It was when I was still racing in the IndyCar series. And, okay, so that wasn't it. No, what it was Jesse James and I were down there, and he had just gotten a new Ferrari. He was racing in the Pro Celebrity Race that year, and he goes, hey, let's just take a lap around in my Ferrari. I go, I don't think you can do that, Jesse. And he gave me that look like, they got to stop me. And we buzzed around the track, and we got all the way around before the guy was like, well, what are you doing now? You got to get off there. And, it was pretty fun, but you realize how tight and you think, in those open wheel cars, man, they're all blasting in there. It's just crazy.
Gnarly.
But
yeah, diving in the corners.
It's old school. Yeah. Come on, it's old school, man. I mean, that track is old school.
But we're going to go out tomorrow, and we're going to go out to the, Toyota Pro Celebrity Race. Now, you know, they've got a lot of stuff going out there. They always try and get some celebrities out. You know, some of them are, you know, I'm going to just say it, man. Some of them aren't celebrities. They're like people that were on TV once or something. I mean, that'd be like putting me on because I was on Car Warriors, or Pete on because he's SoCal. I mean, and saying come that we're on. The biggest celebrities around.
It's an enthusiast. It's just a reason to get on the track. Like
but their grand marshal this year is a celebrity. It's Patrick Stewart. We know him from Star Trek and X-Men.
Yeah. Patrick Stewart, making show number one.
Do you know who the starter is this year?
No.
Come on, take a guess.
I have no idea.
It's a musician.
Oh.
Okay.
Mikey?
he was in a band called Motley Crue.
Oh, really? Oh,
it's cool. Vince Neil. Yeah. So he's the honorary starter this year.
Good. We'll have someone to talk to then.
And some of the celebs that are driving in the celeb category are Donna Feldman. And I don't know who she is, but she's got to be good looking because she's a Maxim model, they said. So Willie Gault, former NFL wide receiver for the Bears. Trisha Helfner, who I've met her through Matt because she's done some the race out at Irwindale and like that, I know, with Matt. Mark McGrath, another musician, he's doing
great,
it.
Great guy.
And I know I kiddingly say a lot of these people. I mean, we are just kind of, you know, having fun with it. But, you know, because they're on soap operas, they're on TV shows, and it's just fun. We're just jealous as hell because we're not out there being asked, you know.
I figure there was an underlying tone.
But the pros, in the pro category, some of the guys we know, Antron Brown, top field driver.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. Now, he'll probably do hella good on the straightaways, but when it comes to the curves, let's see what happens, okay?
He'll drift.
And then our buddy Rutledge Wood from Top Gear, he's going to be out there. And then Brett Davern. Now, Brett won last year in the amateur category, so he has to move up and race against the pros. And that's why Rutt is in the pro category, because he won a couple years ago. So that's what they do, is they invite him back, but then they got to race against the pros.
Now, what are they driving?
Toyotas.
What, the Celica? What were they driving?
Last year they drove the little, what are they called, SRSs?
FF.
Yeah, yeah, the real cool little cars.
Those are cool. FRS or
FRS, you got it. Yeah,
those things are really cool.
Yeah.
Is Rutledge going to fit in one of those?
Oh, yeah, he fits.
Did they bubble out the, you know?
Jeez, boy, you're harsh.
He's tall. No, nothing harsh about being tall, my man.
They went down.
He really is tall. He is tall.
I mean,
I didn't realize it till, you know, he grabbed me. Hey, Matt, come on, let's get it. And it was him and Kyle Petty. And I didn't realize how tall Kyle is. Yeah. So here's Matt and I standing between those two guys. And we're like, you know, look like a little.
You know, two of my best friends are 6'7". So, yeah, it's like I'm used to tall guys.
Yeah.
What is it with all these tall people lately?
I know.
So, but yeah, relatively.
They need to quit being tall, you know.
Damn hormones.
But it'll be fun because we're actually going to go out there and take the DAT recorder, and we're going to do some interviews in the pits right before the race and get all their smack talking about everybody.
Good, be fun. Yeah, we're going to
And we'll play
them.
That next week on the
That'll
show.
Be cool. That's great.
It'll be really
it's
cool.
Really good.
So, because we'll combine our guest who's an expert in the world of exotic cars with our guys who think they're racers.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sorry, I haven't seen any of those.
He is harsh, isn't he?
Well, I haven't seen a single. Well, I've got a new realization, guys, after seeing the Paul Newman film.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
I didn't see that Eye of the Tiger in one of those guys at the pro celebrity race last year. I didn't see one of them going, fuck it, I'm not doing any more acting. I'm going on the racing circuit. You know, Paul was the only guy who pulled that off. So.
Well, Patrick's pretty close to that. I can't speak for him, but he's
he's an enthusiast. Yeah,
he's hardcore, man. I love that guy.
I mean, Rutt loves it, but, you know, he's out there doing a lot of announcing. I haven't seen him jump in a NASCAR yet, okay? Yeah. So we're calling you out, Rutledge. So,
let's hit the California Speedway. Come on.
So, so it'll be fun out there, and I think it'll be it'll make for a great show next week. So, cool. And then we're gonna walk around, see a little bit of the race, and then
is Ralph gonna join us out there? Is he out somewhere else, Mr. Shaheen?
No, he is probably at a Supercross race.
Ah.
Yeah, you know, he does that Supercross series that he announces. So he should have been on this week doing our race report, and I apologize for that. I can blame Pete for that.
What?
Because somebody was supposed to follow up with Ralph to do our biweekly race report.
Yeah.
And you didn't do it.
Nobody asked.
I know. I was supposed to do it, and I didn't pass it off to anybody, so...
Sorry, Ralphie. We're thinking of you, brother.
Don't you have her?
Ralph's probably sitting next to his phone in his hotel room somewhere going, Brad never called me. What's going on, man? I did one show, and
fired.
They're not calling me back. I must not have done good.
He got fired.
So.
Just say yes to 1995.
And wait, there's more.
Oh, is there?
So, Pete.
Yes, sir.
You could have the donkey show for free. Sorry.
What about that brown
car? A good thing we marked this show explicit.
Yes.
So, that pretty much wraps up this episode. Why don't you take us out with that sexy?
I don't think there's nothing left.
Nothing left with Pete being sexy, or nothing left with the voice?
Well, you know he is getting up there.
He is 104.
So, all right, guys. Well, hey. We know that Matt is in Hollywood. He's still cleaning up. He's actually probably right now, he's probably craning cars out of the Roosevelt Hotel.
You know what? I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. And literally...
Don't you love it when a guy goes, I need these cars over here, and somebody goes with their hands together, how much money you got? Yeah.
No, well, Matt called me at like on Tuesday, and he goes, hey, I just wanted to fill you in on all the details for the event because you're not going to be able to talk to me. I'm going to be like, and I go, what's going on? He goes, I'm having a few problems with the event. I go, what's going on, man? Anything I can help you with? He goes, not unless you have a crane. And I go, what?
Wow.
I go, what? And he goes, well, something happened. We got to move the venue a block down and have the cars in the Roosevelt Hotel. And I'm like going, oh, okay, so you just push them in through the doors or something. He goes, no, that's a problem. There's no way to get them in. So yeah, we're having to remove a glass panel of the roof and crane them in. I thought he was kidding.
No.
And he goes, no, I'm serious.
Well, they should have told everybody when they did the announcing. I mean, that would have been half the battle.
Just to appreciate. But I got to tell you, this is how cool of a guy Matt is. This morning, you know, we all got an email from Matt thanking us for being there, how much it meant.
I didn't get that email.
Oh, that's right. It was copied too. Yeah. No. And then he said, sorry, I couldn't spend more time with you guys. I mean, really?
I know.
Matt, thank you. We love you, brother. We're proud of you. You did an amazing job. You spent plenty of time with us. In fact, when I went back after dinner with you guys, we ran into him again. He was liquored up and relaxed and loose, and we got to talk to Nate, too, and thank him. But, Matt, you spent plenty of time with us. You did your job. You're awesome, man.
Great job, and great having him be part of the show. And
we're honored.
It was. I mean, you could just tell when we first got there, he was just, you know, it's like any event, you know, it's like you're just kind of looking all over the room going, okay, is everybody happy? Is everything going okay? You know, you just tell the stress, you know. And
I know.
It's a shoe polish and the cracks on the floor holding.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. And remember, tell your friends, tell them to subscribe to us on iTunes, and keep us up there in the ratings, because that's what keeps Aaron driving down the hill.
So, yeah. Getting out of town. Yeah.
Pete, Aaron, thanks again. Another great show.
Thank
Likewise.
You, buddy.
Thank you.
We're headed to Long Beach for the Grand Prix. Hey, do that again. Do that again, man. I want to hear it. Come on. That was awesome. I thought there was a car screaming by. All right, everybody. Thanks.